From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Steve Mork, in for Kimberly Schofield. It's Monday, February 16th. Coming up, four Republican candidates have thrown their hats in the ring to challenge two-term Governor J.B. Pritzker in November. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. A bill that would give Illinois regulators more authority to control the rising cost of homeowners insurance could get a second chance at passage when lawmakers return to the statehouse this week. Capital News Illinois reports the bill failed to pass on the floor of the House during the final hours of the fall veto session. But State Representative Robin Gable has filed a motion to reconsider the bill and vote on it a second time. Governor J.B. Pritzker called for legislation last year after State Farm Insurance announced a 27% increase in homeowners insurance rates in Illinois. Pritzker and others have suggested the company has been shifting the cost of disaster-related losses in other states onto the backs of Illinois consumers, which industry officials denied. Illinois lawmakers are banding together to address state finances ahead of Governor J.B. Pritzker's budget proposal this week. Sam Nefsker reports.
A coalition of 40 lawmakers wants to confront the state's high property taxes and prioritize funding for healthcare, education, and housing. In this year's budget, Illinois underfunded state services because of a lack of federal dollars. The upcoming budget will face the same pressures. State Senator Karina Villa of West Chicago is on the coalition's Democratic-led executive committee and wants to increase taxes on billionaires and corporations.
This Trump regime is slashing their responsibilities to the taxpayers. Here in Illinois, we need to hold those same corporations and billionaires accountable.
She says the group's efforts will extend beyond this year. I'm Sam Nofsker.
Biofuel leaders say the shipping industry could be a golden goose for ethanol and soy-based biodiesel, but one of the big barriers is the Trump administration, which torpedoed a global agreement to reduce pollution. Harvest Public Media's Rachel Kramer reports.
Even though Iowa is far from any oceans, the marine industry came up during a regional biofuels conference last week. Monty Shaw leads the Iowa Renewable Fuels Association.
There are massive new markets out there that are looking for the very solutions that renewable fuels have to offer. The marine industry represents an 80 billion gallon a year opportunity.
The International Maritime Organization wants to eliminate greenhouse gas emissions by roughly 2050. To get there, cargo ships would need to transition to cleaner fuel options. Over 100 countries were set to vote last fall on a measure that would require ships to pay a fine if they didn't cut their emissions. The U.S. threatened countries with sanctions and visa restrictions and voted to delay the decision until October. I'm Rachel Kramer, Harvest Public Media.
A proposed federal ruling would limit which waters and wetlands are protected under the Clean Water Act. Conservation advocates argue the revision is much too narrow, while farm groups support the change. Harvest Public Media's Jess Savage has more.
A wave of letters signed by environmental advocacy groups across the country say the new definition ignores science and leaves the vast majority of remaining American wetlands unprotected. Nancy Stoner is a senior attorney at the Environmental Law and Policy Center. She says when lawmakers first wrote the Clean Water Act, they intentionally made it broad so it could protect more water resources.
They thought they were fixing the problem. And if you went back to the members of Congress from 1972 and you said, we just decided most of the waters in the United States are actually not protected by the Clean Water Act, I think they would be appalled.
Some farm advocacy groups like the American Farm Bureau Federation praise the redefinition, saying it offers needed clarity to farmers about whether parts of their fields should be considered protected wetlands. For Harvest Public Media, I'm Jess Savage.
Still to come, four Republican candidates have thrown their hats in the ring to challenge two-term Governor J.B. Pritzker in November. That story is coming up next on 217 Today. But first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Your forecast for today, patchy fog in the morning, otherwise partly cloudy with a high of 60 degrees, and a southwest wind 5 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a low of 38 degrees, south wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a high of 58 degrees, a south wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, cloudy and breezy with a chance of light rain or drizzle in a low of 52 degrees, south wind 15 to 25 miles per hour. And for Wednesday, sunny, blustery, and warmer with a high of 68 degrees, with a southwest wind 10 to 20 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, it's President's Day. We'll talk with NPR's own Steve Inskeep, whose most recent book considers Abraham Lincoln as a politician.
He was Honest Abe, who didn't go around lying, but would withhold things. And sometimes people would feel that he was in fact deceptive in that way.
I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Steve Mork. Four Republican candidates have thrown their hats in the ring to challenge two-term Governor J.B. Pritzker in November. They face an uphill battle against a billionaire Democrat in a state that has shifted more and more blue over the past decade. Mawa Iqbal has more.
It's a Friday afternoon. Dozens of people are gathered inside a community room in Champaign, about a mile away from the University of Illinois campus. Ted Dabrowski is hosting a meet and greet, and he's pulling up a slideshow on the overhead screen when a blown-up picture of Governor J.B. Pritzker pops up.
Let's remember the target.
All right. Very well.
Oh, okay. Dabrowski is a former president of conservative think tank Wirepoints. He's been following Illinois' economic policies for at least 15 years, and he says Pritzker has made the state too expensive for people.
We should be leading the country in economic growth, in job creation, in wage growth, population, and we're not. We're a bottom five state.
Census data from the last year shows Illinois has seen population growth over the past few years. Before Dabrowski goes up against Pritzker, he has to contend with three other candidates who have also been campaigning on similar issues. Here they all are.
Just new taxes upon new taxes.
That we're the highest property taxes in the country.
They can't pay any more rent. Real estate taxes go up.
They're taxing your taxes.
It's a crowded GOP primary field that faces a tall task in flipping Illinois' executive mansion red in November. The last time a Republican won statewide office was former Governor Bruce Rauner in 2014. And suburban counties that were once Republican strongholds are now won handily by Democrats, like DuPage County, where two-term Sheriff James Mendrick was the first to jump in the race a year ago. He says working as a cop for 30 years in the Chicagoland area has earned him a positive reputation with Democrats, even in Chicago's inner city.
I laugh because I'm like, I'm the only white guy out there, and I'm like, my opponents will never come out here. So this is all mine.
Video gaming mogul Rick Heidner, who's neck and neck in the fundraising lead with Dabrowski, says residents, no matter their party, just want to feel safe again.
I kept seeing all this harm that was happening in our state, all these people that are getting hurt, you know, killed, raped, beaten, and none of it makes any sense to me.
That may be his pitch to voters, but research from the University of Chicago shows that violent crime has plummeted across the U.S. and in Chicago, where most of the candidates hail from, except for one, Darren Bailey. His name is probably more familiar to the state's electorate because of his losing bid to unseat Pritzker back in 2022.
Right, I want to pay for it. We'll go outside, I want to support give you some all. Signs and take pictures. So.
The downstate farmer paid a visit in January to a local coffee stand in Verdon, about a 20-minute drive from Springfield. The town has a little over 3,000 people in it.
The future of this small business here, it depends on one thing to grow, and that is that we fire J.B. Pritzker this November. Are you on board with me for that?
Pritzker's campaign has wasted no time painting Bailey as, quote, too MAGA for Illinois. He's also lost key support from conservative mega donor Dick Uihlein, who's backing Ted Dabrowski this time around. In this second go at Pritzker, Bailey has rebranded his campaign to put less emphasis on social issues and President Trump, whom Bailey courted 4 years ago.
This does not revolve around President Trump, and I want the people of Illinois to truly understand that. I want them to come and have a conversation with me. We've got our own unique problems and situations, and it's time that we stop this political divisiveness.
The Illinois Republican Party isn't endorsing anyone in this race. The winner will likely duke it out with the heavily favored incumbent, who is expected to emerge from his own primary unscathed, with sights set on becoming one of the state's longest-serving governors. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Juliana Means. Reporting today contributed by Sam Nefsker, Mawa Iqbal, Rachel Kramer, Jess Savage, and Peter Hancock. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Steve Morgan for Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thank Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.